God's grace and his peace to us from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Each of us will face, or maybe we are already facing, the reality that the life that we are currently experiencing is not necessarily the way we imagined it. Very often we may have dreams in the back of our mind, and we might be thinking, well, life should go down this particular path. And then when the path changes a little bit, whether you changed it or it changed for you, it may lead us into what some people would describe a crisis, a time in when our world gets rocked, doubt now explodes within us, and we really wonder, what is really going on with this life? Am I really making a difference? Is this really the life I want to live? Almost sounds like a little bit of a midlife crisis. Well, it's something that all of us go through. Why? Because within us there is a little bit of that doubt. That doubt that sometimes explodes within us and says, am I sure I'm doing the right thing? But to have that confidence, to be that bold, to say, yes, I know what I'm doing is right, we might say, isn't that nice? And isn't that a good thing? You may remember from the Old Testament King David, but before he was king, he was a little shepherd boy, sent by his father to visit his brothers who were at war with the Philistines. The Philistines who mocked their God. Goliath, you may remember, the Philistine champion, was going to go one-on-one with Israel's champion, and whoever won would somewhat win the war. But all of Israel was afraid. You see, Goliath was very big. He was a formidable champion. Everyone was afraid, except little, scrawny, ruddy David. Armed with 5 smooth stones and a sling, David stood before Goliath, who was the great warrior and champion. It's interesting, what did David say? Because there was an exchange of words. From 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 46, "This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand," David speaks, "and I will strike you down and cut off your head. And I will give the dead bodies of the host of the Philistines this day to the birds of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel." All of Israel's warriors had doubt. All of them heard the promises of God. But it was David that said, God will be victorious. Now, who wouldn't want that kind of strong faith, to be bold like David? And how does one get bolder, so to speak? How does one get stronger in the faith? The boldness, the strength that legends are made out of. You know, to be sort of today's spiritual superhero. Well, I will admit, there's a technical term for this area, this arena that we have now entered. The arena is called that of sanctification. And the rules for this arena are simple. Sanctification is that growth of that Christian faith. Justification is 100% God's work. That's how one becomes a Christian. When Jesus Christ dies on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins, and Christ gives us that faith through his word, through his sacraments. Sanctification, however, is something completely different. This is us taking this gift that God has given to us and in one essence putting it to action, building upon it, with, of course, with God's help. We do not do this alone. So if you think you can be that spiritual superhero by yourself, guess again. But is that really what we need? Do we really need to become some spiritual superhero? Many of you might sit there and wipe your brow at this point when I say, no, we really don't. We have one spiritual superhero, and that is Christ. So what does Christ do for us to help build us up? What does Christ do for us to help get rid of that doubt, get rid of the weakness that is in our knees? Our epistle reading for today from Hebrews chapter 12, especially verse 4, gives us the answer. In your struggle against sin, you have not resisted to the point of shedding your blood. Another time to wipe the brow and say, thank you, Jesus. The spiritual superhero, so to speak, needs to shed his blood. And that's not you. That's Christ. But the author of the Hebrew notes that we don't get off the hook either. There is going to be a struggle. And it is a struggle not against other countries, not against the giants, so to speak, of life, but against sin living in us versus the Son of God, versus the Spirit of God within us. That is why none of us will ever make it to be the, quote, spiritual superhero. And that's good. Because when it comes down to it, all of us have those doubts. All of us have the weakness within the knees. We often fall and stumble. Sure, we'd love to have that boldness and confidence of the patriarchs of old, especially that of David. But often our past haunts us. And we are weak. Stronger in the faith? Yes, we'd want that, but it is God's work within us. But how does one get stronger then? Martin Luther had an interesting way of describing it. He grew up as an Augustinian monk, which sort of had its own ways of spiritual disciplines. Martin Luther sort of changed those spiritual disciplines just a little bit for us. He describes sort of three aspects of spiritual disciplines that would truly make a pastor. Not that I'm going to be ordaining you today, but these three disciplines are also true for us. We will only be taking one of the disciplines today, but the three disciplines are oratio, meditatio, tentatio. In English, they basically are defined this way: prayer, meditation on God's word, and then also today's sermon theme, tentatio, may better be described as spiritual attack, spiritual affliction, trial, temptation. Think of it this way. Sometimes some of the best lessons we learn in life are when we fail. Sometimes we need to be thrown into the fire to realize that's not a good spot to be in. Spiritual temptation, in one essence, is the key to Christian growth, to becoming, quote, a mature Christian. Being tempted by Satan? We might be thinking, well, that's the easy part. That happens each and every day. It does. But how do we do under that temptation? And please notice that you're not alone either. Notice that after Christ, after his baptism, he went into the wilderness, fasted, and then was tempted by the tempter. Not that Christ had to prove that he was the Son of God, but to show us indeed that temptation comes to everyone. Those doubts, those questions, those nagging things in the back of your mind. What is my purpose of life? Does it really make any differences? Yes, those are all some sort of spiritual questions and temptations that Satan is trying to do. To do what? To put a wedge between us and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Because when those doubts come, we now start beginning to doubt what we've learned of old. We start doubting those promises of God. Is God really going to love me? Is he really going to forgive me? Is his death on the cross really going to make any difference in my life? No, Satan doesn't need to dress up as a giant with mighty armor. Instead, he just needs to toss out interesting thoughts into your mind. And are you going to entertain these thoughts? The author of the Hebrews reminds us that, yes, every day we struggle spiritually with sin. We struggle with these doubts. We question whether Christ really can and does make a difference for us here on earth. And so these experiences, these firsthand attacks, we will experience. Jesus, by his own life, reminds us of these attacks. And what did Christ do when he was under attack, so to speak? He returned to that word of God. When the attacks of Satan come, we also need to return to God's word as a source of our strength. Tentatio. That this is what really develops a person. Like the purification process. Are we going to stand up under the attacks? Go back to God's word? Or are we going to fall? Actually, kids have a better handle on this than us as adults. Consider a little child for a moment. What happens when a child gets hurt? I don't know about what you were like. I know what I was like and what my own daughters are like. When we get hurt, usually the first word that comes out of our mouth is, "Mommy," and we go running back to Mom. What happens when we are under attack spiritually? Is the first words out of our mouth that of Father, our Heavenly Father, going back and running to Him with His word and sacrament to strengthen us, to nurture our wounds, to settle our restless mind, to draw us out of the pits of that our mind wants to wander into? It is tentatio, those spiritual struggles, that force us to wrestle with issues, force us to go back to God's word and dig deeper, to sit there and say, "Okay, Lord, what are your promises and how do they apply in my life today?" Satan's attacks seem like simple, innocent questions. Does God really care for you? Can you really trust Him for everyday life? Can He or will He even be there when you really need Him? And why would anyone want to be there for me since I've failed Him so many times? Or even the best one, what do I have to offer the Almighty God? That last one can quickly be answered by saying nothing. That's why it is God's love. That undeserved grace of God that comes, that takes on flesh and blood. He does this for you because you are important. You have value. You want to see the value? Take a look at the great lengths that God goes to communicate His promises in His word. Take a look at the great lengths by which God goes to take on flesh and blood. Endure the cross. Rise from the dead. Take a look at the faith of the patriarchs of old. Where did David's boldness come? From within him? It wouldn't have made sense. It came from God. From God's word. Satan is trying to get you to forget God's promises, even the doubt, or to question them. Satan is trying to remind you of your own sin and saying, why would God want to love you? Even the first major event in Genesis, as Cain found out that the attack of Satan can be very, very strong. But notice God's response to him. Cain was angry that Abel's sacrifice was received, but his was not. Cain had two choices: return to the Lord or follow through on Satan's attack, which was to push away from the one who truly does love him. In one essence, that is what Satan's tact does. It pushes away from those who love you and really want to help you. As a result of Cain not choosing wisely, Satan's tact leads you to isolation. And that's what happened with Cain. He eventually, because he had to leave, but not without hope and without a promise. Even the one that failed God, even the one that disobeyed, even the one that killed and murdered, there was a promise. There was the mark on Cain. We also push away from those we love, especially God. Again, this is part of Satan's strategy: divide and conquer. But like Cain, there is also a mark placed upon us. Our mark is holy baptism. Holy baptism is the mark of the promise that, yes, we belong to God. Even when Satan tries to push us away from God, even when Satan tries to teach us and tries to tell us it's better to be alone and go by ourselves, we need to remember that we are marked by God. We are brought into His family. That's not that of isolation, but of togetherness. The tentatio, the spiritual struggles that we endure, we're going to endure because that is what Satan does. He wants to try to divide and conquer us. And so in the midst of the greatest struggles, we need to remember our baptism, return to the Lord for strength, assurance, and love. There are many experiences in life, and are we going to allow them to separate us from the love of God? Nothing can separate us from the love of God except for ourselves. St. Paul reminds us in 1 Corinthians that God will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but with the temptation He will also provide the way of escape that you may endure it. The way of escape is this: returning to the family of God. Returning to where God's word is preached, proclaimed, read, absorbed. Return to the place where Christ is given and shed for the forgiveness of sins, for the strengthening of our faith. Return to the place where you find encouragement from other sinners who are also under spiritual warfare, the way that we all are under. The way of escape from tentatio is to trust in the promises of God, to receive His body and blood, and to find encouragement through good Christian friends and the fellowship of believers. This is why the divine service is so important, because every day we are facing these spiritual attacks, but we do not face it alone. God uses these attacks to draw us closer to Him and His Word, and to use us to help others. For when we see these attacks coming, we should then be running to our strength, and that's God's word and promises. The author of the Hebrew reminds us, in your struggle against sin, and that's a continual struggle, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. In doing so, he reminds us where our true superhero is spiritually, and that is to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so, since He is our hero, when we are under attack, we return to Him. Because it is in Christ. For He is the one who defeats sin, death, and the devil. And He is the one who gives us that victory. In His name, amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.